But we are fortunate now to be joined by Jean Saintville. Are you there, Jean?
Yes, I am, Phil.
Hey, thanks for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy, but your country is percolating. What is going on in Haiti?
Well, it's a continuation of the struggle of the Africans of Haiti, a struggle that started when the first African landed on the island in 1499. And the main fight that the Africans are leading in Haiti is against white supremacy. And to this day, the population there is trying to affirm its right to self-governance and sovereignty. Unfortunately, the world in which we live today is one whereby you can have powerful nations who mobilize the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund, the OAS, all kinds of instruments that are supposedly there to help human beings live in dignity. But in the case of Haiti, it's the exact opposite. So to bring it more concretely, 14 years ago, there was a coalition involving the white supremacist groups in Haiti, a small family, a group of maybe 11 or so families of ultranationals who control the economy of Haiti and govern the island as a modern-day plantation, where the black Africans work on sweatshops with the lowest minimum wage that exists in the Americas, and they are given the semblance of the power to elect presidents, senators, etc. But in reality, what happens is that the electoral system is rigged by those 11 families and their powerful international allies, who are mainly the United States and its CIA, FBI agencies. And unfortunately, we have seen Canada and the United States participating, for instance, in the 2004 coup, when the U.S. soldiers entered the residence of the president, who was actually really elected by black Haitians. They kidnapped him and his wife and put him in exile in Africa for 7 years. Meanwhile, they consolidated the repressive regime backed by United Nations troops that were deployed there in 2004 to consolidate the coup. Mm-hmm. And this is an important point, because oftentimes the presence of the United Nations troops in Haiti is cited in connection with the earthquake, which happened in 2010, but that's not why the troops were there. They were deployed in support of the multinational coup, a racist coup that took place in the bicentennial of the end of racial slavery by the Haitian Revolution. And so that's why those foreign troops were there, because, of course, the demographics being as they are, it is evident that if the black population revolts, it would be easy for them to get rid of these 11 foreign families that are in Haiti, unless they get the support, as their ancestors had the support of the French, the British, the Spanish criminals who had enslaved mm-hmm. the ancestors of the Africans on the island.
Mm-hmm. And this, we're speaking to Jean Saintville. He's based in Ottawa, an activist on the issues of regarding Haiti. What is the what? Was it the price of fuel? What set off this latest street demonstrations where people have been shot?
Yeah. So in September, the puppet government that was installed there. The name of the so-called president is Jovenel Moïse. They had before that a Trump-like character in Haiti that's called Michel Martelly, who's a street amuser, like he's a musician, and they selected him as, you know, one of their own. And they basically, their role is to make sure that they maintain the ports so that the drug dealings that are taking place in Latin America, bringing cocaine, heroin to North America, this commerce goes on without any difficulty, and the population remains subdued. And so they increase the price of fuel because that's one of the major revenue for the so-called government, with taxes and all of that. And, of course, every time they increase the price of fuel in Haiti, the price of every product increases. Because in the last few decades, what has happened with the IMF policies and the World Bank having imposed that Haiti cuts tariffs and that the economy becomes completely dependent on imports, the so-called bourgeoisie in Haiti, its main activity is to import rice from the United States, import everything. Mm-hmm. And, of course, by increasing the price of fuel, it becomes very difficult for the population to survive because the importers and all these people, they also increase the price of every staple, every product in the country. Mm-hmm. And so the population could not survive. And as we saw, the same thing happened in Brazil in 2014 when a small increase in the cost of transportation there caused people to riot because it's the same thing. Like in Haiti, this so-called small increase, and in the case of Haiti, it was even ridiculous because these guys were making increases of 50%. Uh-huh. Whereas the people could not have even survived 10% increase. Mm-hmm. Because the main source of income for the population is remittances from Haitians who have left Haiti to come to Canada, the United States, everywhere in the world to send money to their family. And it becomes also the main source of income of the predatory families in Haiti who are selling products in their market. So it becomes a vicious cycle that maintains that plantation type of environment in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. This is Jean Saint-Ville. The name Clinton comes up a lot in discussions. And by the way, I've been following Haitian Info Project. Is that a good place for people to get information?
Yes, Haiti Info Project. These are brothers who started, more than 10 years ago to do a collection of information in Haiti. Because, of course, a lot of the, for instance, Radio-Canada, CBC, all of these stations used to call me for interviews. And, if it is to talk about how, Haitian leaders are corrupt and et cetera, they'll be happy to interview you on that or on how poor these people are or poor people. But if you tell them, what happened with the $10 billion that was pledged and collected in the name of Haitians after the earthquake, and, has the CBC done an investigation of where the money of all these generous Canadians have gone, they go missing because they don't want to investigate that. And I remember after the earthquake, I was one who did a few interviews where I took the opportunity to remind people that it wasn't Haitians collecting that money. So don't come ask the Haitians where that money is. Of the $10 billion that was pledged, at least $5 or $6 billion was collected, and it was managed by Bill Clinton and the something called the CIRH. And Bill Clinton was given, basically Mr. Tarzan. Mm-hmm. Okay, he was to oversee the reconstruction of Haiti.
How as kind.
And as you can see, after 8 years, even the National Palace hasn't been rebuilt. Haiti is poorer than it. I shouldn't say Haiti is poor. The black Haitians are poorer than they have ever been. And the Clinton Foundation is doing much better than it was doing before the earthquake.
Yeah,
okay, so of course, there has been some people who've done journalism, investigative journalism, and they found that, for instance, the brother of Hillary Clinton, Tony Rodham, had secured for himself a place on the board of directors of CVS Mining, one of the mining companies that got access to 10% of the Haitian territory. There's a whole lot of gold in Haiti. So the rich...
Hillary Clinton's brother is helping run a gold mine in Haiti.
Yes, and that was part of
the deal.
Well,
it's the least he could do.
That was part of the deal. And again, I remind people, Haiti is... Countries are not poor or rich. People are impoverished or enriched. Mm-hmm. And what has been happening on that island since the first Europeans arrived is that they have been enriching themselves on the back of black Africa, and it hasn't stopped. And unfortunately, when you get a few, seconds about Haiti on TV, what you get is a lot of dumbed-down information without any analysis of what these people are rising for. So to go to the what's happening today, as we speak, the impoverished populations are terrified because the puppet government that the United States, Canada, and Europe imposed on the black Haitians has zero popularity. They took some idiot who has no education because that's the kind of black leader they can deal with. They are terrified by educated black men everywhere. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing with Patrice Lumumba. They assassinated Thomas Sankara. It's nothing new. Mm-hmm. And it is the same principle where they impose on the population the Amin Dada or Mobutu, and then they turn around when the population is suffering to say that it's because they have bad leadership. But they are the ones who impose this fool called Jovenel Moïse in Haiti, and they rigged the computers, claimed that he had that there was a low turnout in the election and that there were 500,000 people who voted for him. Now he cannot put five people in the streets in support of his thing because it was fake. It was all in the computers. We had a digital election in Haiti.
Yes.
When we don't have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
How do you understand that?
Yes.
People don't have access to electricity for their everyday lives. Yet the OAS, all of the so-called donor countries who call themselves friends of Haiti, self-imposed friends, they decided that the election has to be computerized and all of that. And, of course, they control the computers, so they put whatever numbers they want.
Yes.
And the black population could not find, they did investigations, they called all kinds of stuff, but in the end, the ambassadors of the United States and Canada and all of that turned out and said, that's done, the election is done, this guy is president.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton intervened personally in 2011 to impose Michel Martelly as president of Haiti. And now the population is enraged because there was nearly $4 billion that was loaned from Venezuela in the Petrocaribe program that those two fools that the white supremacist forces imposed on Haitians, they stole the money. And now the population is saying, we don't want to have to pay that money back. We need to get it back from the thieves. And unfortunately for the Haitian people, they don't have enough strength and international support to conduct the trials of the criminals because they are supported by the embassies of the United States, etc. So that's and instead of helping the population, what they're doing is that Jovenel Moïse, Michel Martelly, they are receiving the protection of the foreign forces. And yesterday what we saw is a number of snipers who were hired by the government. You have pictures of them. You know now with social media, they take videos, they take photos. So of course, CBC, CNN is not going to show all of that. But the people are putting them on social media. And it's horrific to see how these guys are shooting people. Like, I counted at least 10 young men and one elderly woman, all of them, one bullet to the head. Mm-hmm. That cannot be an accident. So they were slaughtering the black Haitians, and I insist on...
And the UN, UN is there and standing by, right? Just watching or participating?
No, no, they're participating. They're not watching.
They're actually firing on people.
Yes. Yeah. The United Nations committed atrocities in Haiti since they landed in 2004, and not only did they go and kill people indiscriminately in the impoverished population, it's very clear, they never do these things in the rich communities in Haiti. All of these atrocities are committed in the impoverished black populations, where the people do not have voice, where they don't count them, where black lives simply don't matter. That's the reality of our world in 2018. And so, not only did they do that, as you know, the United Nations soldiers introduced cholera in Haiti, yes, contaminated 1 million of the population, and yes, killed over 30,000. Yes. And when the Haitians, a few brave Haitian lawyers, tried to bring the United Nations to court, it was the United States under President Obama,
yes,
who intervened to defend the United Nations, and to this day, not a single black Haitian has received compensation. And I insist on the identity of the blackest and the poorest Haitians, because, for instance, cholera is a very easily treatable disease.
Yes.
I will not die of cholera if I catch it in Haiti or here. The remedy for cholera is to have access to drinking water. Mm-hmm. The only reason why these thousands of people died out of the exposure to cholera is because at the same time that you have all of these foreign powers in Haiti, they have not invested a cent in helping this population have access to drinking water. Instead, the few infrastructures and resources that they had have been stolen from them the time of the coup in 2004. There were 7,000 elected officials, duly elected in 2004. When the white supremacist forces invaded Haiti in 2004 to help the few 11 mafia families take over, they chose, they handpicked their own criminals, some of them convicted criminals, and they imposed these folks as leaders of Haiti. Okay, and so that's what we're living today. And the last report I saw tonight, Phil, with the pictures of people in the neighborhood of La Saline, they're just slaughtering those people. And unfortunately, no one in the Haitian Information Project was mentioning. No one in the mainstream media are covering it. The CBC simply closed their eyes, and it's time for Canadians to realize that, you know, we are not being served properly. There needs to be some severe changes in the way we are being informed. These, you know, 15-second snippets that are filled with preconceived ideas about, you know, black dictators and benevolent missionaries, Tarzan type of news. It's simply ridiculous, unacceptable in 2018.
Yeah. Well, Jean Sanville, you put it very, very well, and I think those people in the streets agree with you, and we really appreciate your talking to us.
I appreciate you taking the time to cover this, Phil, and anytime, brother.
Okay, we'll follow up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is the Taylor Report, and that was a report from Haiti, and he's absolutely right. And, of course, why would the Canadian media want to talk about this? Because the trail leads back to Ottawa. They had a meeting. We spoke to Eve Engler and others about this who've written about it. It's not a secret. It's just that you have to go and dig it up. But they had the meeting in Ottawa to plan for the removal of Aristide. Aristide was the most popular modern leader in modern Haitian history. Bar none, there's absolutely no one as popular as he was. And he was, of course, a former priest who, it was said, his responsibilities were to all Haitians, and the majority of them are poor. And such an idea will get you in a lot of trouble. But at any rate, that isn't being talked about here, except, well, it is being talked about on Taylor Report and CIUT. And by the way, I'll just tell you again, thank you very, very much for the support for the program and for the CIUT. And you can always go to CIUT.FM and donate right up until December 31st.